Hey, everybody. Welcome to the First Press Sermon Podcast. At the end of the podcast, please take a moment to subscribe to this channel or our YouTube channel to stay up to date with our latest Sunday messages. We are so glad to have you joining us, and we are praying that the following message might inspire you to take your next steps toward Jesus.
How is everyone? What did it take, like our friends in the video, for something to be happening in your heart to where you can't so much help yourself, but you're compelled to reach out to people around you? Not for so much any gain that you get as much as something that you want for them that's outside of yourself, to share Christ, to share sacrificial love. Our passage is out of Luke chapter 2, and it's the story of the shepherds getting to see Jesus born. And there's something that happens to them. At first I was like, oh, shepherds, how am I going to preach about shepherding? I'm not good at that. But it really has little to do with shepherding, so we're okay. It has to do with, what does our heart do when the glory of God is revealed to us? And the thing is, just like the shepherds, the glory of God has been revealed to us. Not in the same way. I haven't been out on a hillside at night and angels bursting forth in front of me. Nonetheless, the glory of God is revealed. We've seen the glory. And sharing good news becomes not a work-based action, but a joyful overflow of our relationship with Christ. Will you pray with me, and then we'll read from Luke chapter 2. Father, thank you for revealing yourself to your people. Thank you for revealing your reality to the entire world. Help us to affirm that revealing in our heart. Help us to say yes to your desire to walk with us to and fro throughout our life. Would you bring to bear on the minds and the hearts in this room moments when they've seen your glory, felt your glory, both here inside the church and outside. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 2, I'll begin reading in verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying God, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Church family, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our reading concludes with the child receiving the name Jesus, which means God saves. The Savior has been born. He's been called Jesus. We're concluding today our Advent sermon series, which we've titled, "What Do You Name Him?" What do you name him? We've referenced Jesus's question to his disciples already. Jesus asked, "Who do you say I am?" I was working with Mary. She was the music director at my previous church. And Mary had this large framed piece of art right when you entered her office. And right when you entered her office, it said, "Who do you say I am?" She lived in this question. It comes from Jesus out of Matthew 16. Jesus says, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Who do you say I am? Our reading begins with the disappearance of the glory of God. Earlier in Luke 2, there are shepherds gathered together in darkness, a normal night for shepherding. But then something happens. In verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Dark, cold, silent night. And then light and glory and near deafening proclamation. The one angel who caused enough fear and trembling in the shepherds is joined by a host of angels. And in verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." After hundreds, thousands of nights, the same after the same after the same after the same, there's this great interruption for the shepherds. Salvation is at hand. Verse 11, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." What do you do when you're interrupted? Do you keep on going? Do you lean in? Do you ignore? Do you deny and dismiss? And of course, it depends on the situation, right? It depends on your own situational awareness to the situation. For the shepherds, they're interrupted by the very glory of God. And their response, a kingdom response, they have what I'm going to call a shepherd discipleship process. They go, they share, they worship. They go, they share, they worship. First they go, verse 15. "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" If you've heard about God, go check it out. If you've heard a word about Jesus, ask questions. First Pres is a place to bring your questions, not leave them at the door. We work very hard to have the right circles and the right spaces set up so that people can come into our community, ask genuine, heartfelt questions, and get genuine responses. The shepherds were given a sign, and they went to check it out. Luke 2, verse 12, the angel told the shepherds, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." God gives signs as a means of grace. The shepherds receive something very special. A host of angels proclaiming the glory of God. You and I have been given signs. In this space, we have God's word, a sign. After the sermon, the table, a sign. But scripture says that everyone has had a sign. If you drove in or you walked in today and you looked west at Pike's Peak, wrapped in snow, scripture calls that a sign. Theologians call it general revelation. It looks a little something like this out of Psalm 19. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they have no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. A sign. So that everyone who has ears to hear can look at their life, can look at creation, and can start to make their way toward a baby lying in a manger in Bethlehem. You can look at the creation, you can look at your body, the complexity, the beauty. Maybe not me, but you. You can do it. You can look at sacrificial love. You can look at relationships. You can look at friends and family. You can look at the entire cosmos. You can put it all up together and you can say there's something that's doing this. Something personal and loving and intelligent. Or you can say, nah. Time, chance, and matter explains it all. God is not afraid of your questions. In Isaiah, God says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Isaiah 1:18. God wants you to be looking at his creation. He wants you to be looking at your life. He wants you to be listening to your life and asking yourself, what is this pointing to, or to whom does this point? What do you do when you're given something so majestic as the knowledge of God, as the knowledge of a personal Savior who's coming to you, to be with you, to bring you with him, to be in the place where he is forevermore? Verse 19 says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. There's an image of swimming out in the ocean and looking down into the depths of the ocean and saying, oh, I see the ocean. I just can't see the bottom. The majesty of God comes to us in Christ, and sometimes all we can do is try to hold it and ponder it and sit with it. Number one, the shepherds went. They investigated. They asked questions. Number two, they share. Verses 17 and 18, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They spread the word. They shared. The angel revealed God's glory on that hillside of sheep and shepherd. And here's our big idea today. Sharing good news is a natural overflow for people who have seen God's glory. It's not something that's forced. It's not something that we have to force ourselves to do. It's a natural overflow for people who have seen God's glory. Light breaks out into the darkness of night, and angels say, trade your cold fear for endless joy. We have a choice to make. We have to say yes to that offer. When God's glory is revealed, we have to decide, am I going to get up and go? Am I going to share? Or did I miss it? The way I view shepherding is unique to an experience I had many years ago. For several months, I stayed with a local Kenyan family, first generation believers. It was a beautiful season of life. Every night we would bring the livestock in. There were several houses of mud and stick and straw, and I was in a tent. Bring the livestock in, a shepherd would be appointed to sleep, not in one of the homes, but out in the open. Sometimes I would have to get up to stretch my legs. Okay. every time I did, the shepherd keeping watch was asleep. 100% of the time, 100% asleep. It has affected my filter of when I see shepherds keeping watch. Why do I share this? Because I think it actually points to something. It's not a given that we will always automatically get up and go to Bethlehem to see Jesus. We have to make a choice. We have to make a choice to say, that thing that I just saw was the glory of God revealed to me for confirmation in my heart that God is who he says he is, and I can trust in him. Or, like my dear friends, keeping watch, we can sleep through it. The saddest reality I know of right now is how many people around us in this city sleep through the glory of God being revealed to them. It's a choice. It's a choice. Your life will be, you'll have news and announcements, you'll have glory, you'll have proclamation come to you. And that's matter of fact. And it does very little for you. Your response does a whole lot. In fact, I would go so far as to say Jesus coming to save sinners from sin means very little for you. Unless, like the shepherds, you go and check it out and you come to a conviction in your heart and you say, my allegiance is now with this one, Jesus, born in Bethlehem, the Messiah, the Lord. So today, we name him Jesus. Today, we declare in our heart that his name is Jesus. We look at our life, we look at the joys of our life, we look at the sorrows of our life, we look at creation, everything that's going on around us, we put it all together and we say, his name is Jesus. We get up and we go to Bethlehem. We share good news. And then finally, number three, they worship. They go, they share, they worship. Verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, to try to imagine that, they don't go on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to the temple to worship for an hour and then go back to their lives. I see them stumbling. I see them tripping in the dark on their way back to their flock. And while they're stumbling and tripping, they are joyfully worshiping God and saying, can you believe the Savior is actually here? Let us worship God. Worship is an overflow of the heart. The earth was cold and dark again. The glory had now disappeared, but a fire, an eternal fire, had been kindled in their heart. The light and life of Jesus was now in their heart forevermore, and it changes everything about who they are, how they see the world, what they view as important. As we are going, we worship the Lord. We wake up in the hallelujah of God's grace. We go to bed in the amen that Jesus is with us, no matter what our circumstances are. He's with us. Earlier, I mentioned working with Mary, my previous church context, our music director at the time. She had the sign on her office wall as she walked in, as anyone walked in, who do you say I am? It's like she lived with this question right in front of her. She modeled this shepherding discipleship process, going, sharing, worshiping, going, sharing, worshiping. She was captivated by the glory of God. She loved sharing Jesus with other people. She and her husband, Bo, had adopted three beautiful girls from China. And if someone tells you something, and it's the last time you talk to them, and they have knowledge that their end on this side of eternity is close, would you lean in a little bit? Like, would you give them your ear for just a moment? Mary was walking with terminal cancer diagnosis. She still looked at the question every day, who do you say I am? And you could see it in her life. She said, you are the Lord, the Messiah, the Savior, no matter what. The office was quiet. I think it was just her and I in the office when an ambulance and paramedics arrived. And she was being taken out on a stretcher. You can imagine I was startled when she grabbed my arm. She said, never stop telling them about Jesus. It was my last time seeing her. She lived for Jesus. The glory of God was revealed to her, and her whole life was different. Our big idea today is that sharing good news is a natural overflow for people who have seen God's glory. It's not work, it's not effort, it's not something that you have to put on your reminder. It's just something that begins to happen. And so I think I promised you some application around sharing good news. And the first point that I would offer to you is to cultivate your relationship with Jesus first. Because if this is true, that if it is an overflow of seeing God's glory, get close to Jesus, you will see God's glory. And then it will start happening more and more and more. It will become infectious to want to share good news with those around you. Commit to spiritual disciplines, reading scripture, prayer, Christian community, silence and solitude, taking ownership over your calendar so that there is space to be with Jesus. Number two, build real, deep, meaningful friendships with people who have not named Jesus yet. And from your relationship with Jesus, let it be a joy. Let it be the highlight of your week when you get to interact with somebody. Take the next step in a relationship, meet real needs. Block space in your calendar to go toward someone. Not just in a one-off way, but in a friend way. To be their friend. And finally, third, love one another. Here. So Tim Keller puts it this way. He says, the quality, distinctiveness, beauty of our communal life must be a major part of our witness and mission to the world. Jesus stated that the quality and visibility of Christians' love for each other will show the world that the Father sent him. Jesus says it like this in John 13, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We're called to love one another with the love of Jesus. John Stott writes, the followers of Jesus are to be different. Different from the nominal church and the secular world, different from both the religious and the irreligious. So cultivate your relationship with Jesus. Make real friendships with people who don't know him yet. And love one another. Going back to the Alpha video that played just before this, what strikes me is that people begin to make choices to include others in their life. It's so easy to go this way, to go that way, to frankly avoid the conversation. you know, we already have, our life already feels full, or we already, you know, how many times are we caught with our face looking down at our phone? Previously established relationships. Or headline I haven't read yet. It's like, but what does it look like when we start to recalibrate our thinking and our living to include the people that God is actively seeking and saving? So if you don't remember anything else from today's sermon, remember this: sharing good news, it's a natural overflow for people who have seen God's glory. Will you pray with me? Father, as we move from your word to your table, bring to bear on our minds times when you have already revealed yourself to us, when you have already revealed your glory to us, and may it become such a compelling force in our lives that we look back on our last few days and our last few weeks and we realize that we've changed, that we're being transformed, that we're changing degree by degree into the image of Christ, who loves to bring his people home. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the love in this church. In Christ's name, amen.
Once again, thanks for listening. To plan your visit, head to our website, firstpresscos.org. That's FIRSTPRESCOS.org.